When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into the MMQB podcast. It is October 11th. We are going into week 6, and I am Matt Verderam, joined by Gilberto Manzano, as always. And Gil, what's going on?
Not too much, Matt. You know, maybe a quick story off the top here. You know, I was at SoFi Stadium for the Rams-Eagles game. And I got to say, Matt, when I went into the Eagles locker room, I felt like I had VIP passes to like a rock concert. And the Eagles are on tour, and they're out in L.A., and I'm in there, and I'm seeing Jason Kelce holding court, A.J. Brown, Darius Slay, a bunch of stars in there. And the Eagles do this thing where, like, they only have Jalen Hurts go to the podium. So all the other star players are just hanging around talking to the media for, like, 45 minutes. And I'm like, that felt like a rock band on tour. And it's just something I haven't really been in besides the Super Bowl, like a winning locker room at a Super Bowl besides that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, some of these teams right now, whether it's the Niners or the Eagles or the Chiefs or Buffalo really forced some of these injuries, it feels like they have so many stars on the team that, you know, it's like it doesn't matter where you look. There's somebody who's going to draw, you know, 7 reporters. And Jason Kelce, I mean, that's a great call because Jason Kelce, is he not the most popular offensive lineman in football? I feel like everybody knows who Jason Kelce is at this point.
Yeah, media scrum for a center, and, you know, he, like, it wasn't like a thing where, like, okay, all right, guys, let me go shower, and I'll come back, and I'll do it. Like, he enjoyed it. He loved it. He has a podcast, and I think, you know, he had that outburst on the sidelines. I think he wanted to make sure everybody knew the full story, but he was, like, I think I left the locker room 45 minutes later, and I'm like, he still hasn't started getting dressed or go to the showers. Like, I think this guy just really enjoys talking. You could tell, like, his personality is just, you know, off the chart.
You know, some guys do. I remember I interviewed Travis Kelce at an old employer. I interviewed him twice for a podcast. I interviewed him once when he was just starting to become who he was. He was sponsoring Tide. So it was like this, like, hey, I'm going to come on for 10 minutes. And then he did one like a year ago. And obviously he's now who he is. And he came on and he couldn't have been more gracious. I think he was slated for like a 10-minute interview and he hung around for almost 20. And he was just talking about all kinds of things. I remember I asked him, people who might remember this, there was a game years ago they played Jacksonville, and he was furious that somebody didn't call a pass interference. And he was screaming at the back judge, and the back judge threw a flag on him for a personal foul because he was yelling at the back judge. And Kelce pulled this towel out of the back of his pants and threw it like it was a flag on the official. And then a hat started flying, and he got thrown out of the game. And I asked him about it, and he kind of sheepishly was like, yeah, that wasn't my finest moment, but I know it's on YouTube, and I know it has a lot of views. So, you know, yeah. I mean, some guys they don't care. They get it. You know, it's all in good fun, and they'll sit there and they'll talk to you.
Well, luckily for Travis now, he has a bunch of videos with Taylor Swift on them that you'd forget about that moment, and so it's okay.
I'd say life's going pretty well for the Kelce brothers.
Yeah,
I think it's worked out. They're both going to go to the Hall of Fame. They both won Super Bowls, and Travis is too. They both won Super Bowls. We're on Saturday Night Live over the off season. They have a Campbell's Chunky Soup commercial, a couple of them, I believe, together. Things are good. Life's good for Travis and Jason Kelce. And life's also good, by the way, as I segue in like a professional, to Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy is feeling pretty good about life, I would think, at the moment. As his 49ers are one of two undefeated teams in the league, along with, of course, Philadelphia. They are 5-0. And Purdy was getting a lot of love in the Saturday Night Football broadcast, and rightfully so. I mean, listen, he played great. Four touchdown passes. He has 9 on the year, no interceptions. He has a QBR, if you care about QBR, of 83.6. It is far and away number one in the league. He is 8th in passing yardage. He's 2, or 2nd, I should say, in yards per attempt behind Tua Tagovailoa. He's playing great football. He's 2nd in completion percentage. You can't ask for much more. And I guess this is where we should jump off. Like, is it time to just say, hey, look, this kid is Mr. Irrelevant, whatever, but he's excellent. And he's not just a part of this Niners team. He's a leading member of it. Or does there have to be more nuance to it in your eyes?
No, you know, I'll go with the first part you said. I think he is a leader and a valuable player for the 49ers. And, you know, I'm not trying to say, you know, I was right on this guy, but like, I just felt like, okay, he's better than Jimmy G, and that's what you really need here for this 49ers team. Like, they've done it with Jimmy G. They've got into the Super Bowl. It can't get over the hump. And so if you're a little bit better than Jimmy G, maybe that's all you need for this loaded roster. And it seems like this team is more loaded than previous years. Maybe I'm forgetting the other teams, but they've had some very good teams. So, okay, cool. I'm glad that we confirmed that because it just seems different. And I don't know if that helps out Brock Purdy, but, you know, and also, you know, when it's primetime games, you get more love, you get more attention. So, you know, I don't want to take too much away from all the love Brock Purdy is getting there, but, you know, a little quick side story. I did love seeing the Fred Warner highlights there. Like, okay, finally, this guy's getting his due on primetime. He's awesome. He's amazing to watch. But for Purdy, the thing I take away from that primetime game, those two throws to George Kittle, I'm like, okay, those are big-time throws. Those are not just game manager throw, okay, run the offense and give it to your top player. So when I saw that, I'm okay. I'm seeing more every week. But I think the poise from the rookie year was big. You know, his quick command of the offense, being a quick learner. He works hard. You hear all the stories about, you know, he's not even the most, you know, social person. He's all about football. And I guess when you're a quarterback and that's your entire life, that's okay. But to see him make plays and help people out and make this team better, I think to me goes a long way. And I don't know where to rank him, but he's definitely more than a game manager, and I think he's an above average quarterback.
Yeah, you know, listen, I do our quarterback rankings every week, and I have him 10th. Mm. And I think it's fair. If I didn't think that, then I'm really not doing a great job here. I do think two things can be true at once. He is playing really well. And to deny that, I think, is to just be blind at this point. Like, he is playing really well. He's not just some caretaker who can't do anything. He's doing a nice job. I also would say, and this is going to sound like a criticism, but it's not, like, he's in the perfect situation. That is an incredibly talented team. It is a very quarterback-friendly offensive scheme in the Shanahan offense. And so it's, by the way, Tua plays in the same scheme. Okay, Tua plays in the same scheme with Mike McDaniel coming over from San Francisco. I would also say the same is true in terms of the perfect place. Like, Patrick Mahomes ended up in the perfect place. He went to a team that had Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Andy Reid. Like, you know what? Could have done a lot worse. That doesn't take away. That's reality. That's the world. I mean, you know, sometimes in life you fall into the right situation and maybe you would have been good somewhere else, but maybe you're great at that place because you're surrounded by greatness. And so your talent can flourish. My only question with the Niners, and it really, again, this isn't even a criticism because I don't know what the answer is. They are so good, they get out to leads very quickly in most of these games, and they don't ever really have to play any other way but the way they want to play. Is there ever a game where they get down 14-3, and then, like, what does that look like? You know, because then the other team dictates the terms. I was thinking about this earlier. I was trying to come up with a comparison. I remember when I watched the 2019 Ravens, the year Lamar was the unanimous MVP, and rightfully so, he was brilliant. And I remember thinking, all year, if you remember, if you go back and look at their games, they would just get out in front of teams, and then Wink would blitz the hell out of people, and they would run the ball, and nobody could stop them. And I remember thinking, My only question is if they get down in a playoff game, then what happens? Because then you can't blitz as aggressively and you can't run the ball. In the first playoff game they had, they got down 14-0 to Tennessee and the thing went off the rails. I don't think that will happen with San Francisco. I think they're so talented they'd be able to come back. I think they can win a lot of different ways. But that's really the only question I have at this point. And to Purdy's credit, you never find out the answer because they're never losing. So it's hard to really, you know the answer when every game you turn on, you're 5 minutes in, they're up 14-0.
Yeah, when a team is that good and they're 5-0, you're looking at the schedule and looking for, like, okay, where will they lose? And, you know, the only team that could match well right now with them is, you know, I think it's the Eagles. And I think that game's in November, so it's still ways away. But you know when it comes to, like, the NFL, there's going to be one game where you stub your toe and it's like, okay, you should have beat that team, but it didn't work out. And I guess we'll find out. The 49ers are really legit and they go, say, I don't know, 16-1 or 15-2. And it's like, okay, they're that's a dominant force. But I feel like at one point there might be one game was like, all right, you should have won that game. Maybe it's a Seattle game. Maybe it's a Rams game. Okay, maybe not the Rams, but a team has to be like a feisty team like the Seahawks could get you, I feel like. But – you know, going back to your point, I really like the point where you made it. Look, if Patrick Mahomes didn't end up in KC, maybe it doesn't go the same way for him. So, you know, I hate how people are trying to diminish Bill Belichick's legacy because, oh, he can't win with Tom Brady. Like, every team needs a good coach, a good quarterback, a good running back, a good everything, right?
It's such a dumb argument. It's such a dumb argument. When people sit there and go, you know, Belichick didn't have Brady. Okay, well, if Walsh didn't have Montana, he probably wouldn't have won 6 Super Bowls. But he did. He did. That's life. That's the way the world works. Like, some guys end up in crappy situations, and that sucks. And you know what I feel for him? Dan Marino had Don Shula, but they never had a defense, and they never had a running game. And back then, you needed a running game more than you do now, okay? Like, that happens. That's life. Phillip Rivers was a damn talented quarterback. Never got to a Super Bowl. Some of that's on him, some of it's not. Like, Matthew Stafford never did anything accomplishments-wise in Detroit, went to the Rams, immediately won a Super Bowl. Circumstances changed. Got Aaron Donald all of a sudden. Got Sean McVay. Got weapons. Like, I think sometimes people just don't factor in that, yeah, man, there's nuance in life. Like, that's the way it goes, you know? If you're a ground ball pitcher in baseball and you got a defense behind you that's a sieve, you know, you're going to look a hell of a lot worse if you got three gold glovers playing in the infield. You're the same damn guy, but it's different. And so for Brock Purdy, I always love these people on Twitter who will be like, well, you know, if he was on another team, yeah, well, he's not. He's not on another team. So his career is what it is. And to this point, it's been a great story. He's done a nice job. And the Niners right now, I mean, look, I don't want to get into the whole, like, who's the best team in football? Because, like, it's 5 weeks in and it's irrelevant and it doesn't matter because come January, it's going to look different as it always does. But right now, they're playing top of the line football.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I know we got to do a podcast. We got to write stories. So we need to kind of get into some debates here and there. But, you know, you're right. It's only 5 weeks in, and you know, maybe going a little bit about the Cowboys. Like I was writing that game. I wrote about that game, and I was watching it. And Chris Collinsworth was like, "Okay, this is Dak's moment." I'm like, "It's the second quarter of week five." But
I remember this game.
Yeah, I know, but I get it. You know, they haven't beat the 49ers, so mentally, maybe you got to do something there. So, you know, we're all loving the 49ers, And it's tough because, like, we do all these rankings. Like, one week could be the Bills, and we saw what happened to the Bills. Or it could be the Chiefs or the Cowboys jumping out to 4-0. And here we are. I think we all should have just said, it's the freaking 49ers to start off with. But we'll find out eventually. And you're right. It's like, you know, I know you just gave out a baseball analogy, and so I'll give one out too. It's like the Dodgers won 100 games, but we all know, like, they don't have any pitching. So what will you do come playoff time? And look at them. They're going about to lose to the Diamondbacks in the National League Divisional Series. So, like, if the 49ers go and they cruise and they don't have that feeling of, okay, what do we do when we're behind? That could be something there. But I it's such a long season. I think it will come. But that's how good that the 49ers are. We're nitpicking for something. Okay, they haven't fell behind yet. What can you do? And it's, you know, it just shows how dominant they've been for the first five games.
So let's touch on Dallas real quick because, you know, I wanted to talk about it. Look, they're 3-2, okay? They've beaten the Patriots, the Jets, and the Giants. Not exactly murderer's row. They lost to the Cardinals. They got crushed by the Niners. They looked awful against the Niners. Now, it's one game, and as you point out, and look, it's part of our job to both analyze it but also be smart about it. Like, the reality is, listen, whether they lose 42-10 or 20-19, like, they're 3-2. And they obviously have a long way to go to beat San Francisco, but luckily for them, they have a long way to go. There's 12 games left in the season. We saw them play in the playoffs in that building last year, and that was a tight game. Like, Dallas was in that game all the way through. Should we be concerned about the Cowboys season? I mean, they sit 3-2. Coming up, they got a Monday night game in L.A. We're going to get to that against the Chargers, I might add, before having a bye week. Should we be concerned about them, or do we feel fine about Dallas despite a big loss?
Yeah, you know, before I give you the whole, you know, they can't beat the 49ers, you know, storyline there, they have bigger problems currently, the Cowboys. Like, the injuries are piling up. Like, with the start with the Trevon Diggs there, and they're losing more guys defensively. I feel like every offensive lineman is getting hurt every single week, and they can't get a rhythm there. And then the bigger problem now, the offense isn't in sync. Like, when you're playing a big-time showdown with the 49ers, you want your star players to ball out. Where was CeeDee Lamb? Where was Tony Pollard? These guys, they didn't really do much. And obviously, Dak Prescott had the 3 interceptions. But maybe this Mike McCarthy calling plays offensively is not working. And then your bread and butter defensively, you're losing guys. And you can't lean on that dominant defense. That's kind of what happened the first two games against the New York teams, right, Matt? Where, like, they jump out to big leads and, okay, lean on the defense and we'll be okay. But this Cowboys offense hasn't been clicking. So that is very concerning to me. Now, on the 49ers front, like, you know, let's just be real. You can't beat that team. You don't even know how to do it. It's been a long time since you've beaten the Cowboys. But you can't play those mental games because you don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs. It's like the Eagles had to play Daniel Jones and a one-arm Brock Purdy to go to the Super Bowl. Like, you don't know seedings. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know injuries. So I think from that front, like, they shouldn't dwell too much on the beatdown. But they have bigger problems currently, starting with CeeDee Lamb already getting annoyed with the touches.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that, first of all, I agree for the most part. Listen, their defense, Diggs is a big loss. Now Leighton Van Der Esch is hurt. Like, that is starting to become an issue. They were torched. But the bigger problem I have right now, and I don't want to be the guy who just makes about the quarterback because there's other things going on. But, like, Dak can't play like that in these games. He just can't. You're not winning these games with him throwing just helium ball after helium ball downfield and getting picked off three times. It could have been worse than that. And it wasn't just him. They fumbled the ball deep in their own territory, and they actually got it back, you know, on a McCaffrey fumble. But, like, if you're going to play the 49ers, whether you're Dallas or anybody else, you're going to have to play damn near perfect. And that's the truth when you play Philly or Kansas City or when Cincinnati's right. Like, when you play teams like that, you can't turn the ball over four times. You're losing. You're going home. You're getting killed. Okay? Like, that's my problem with Dallas in this game was Dak has to be able, like, if they, the basic premise for the Cowboys, they play the 49ers in the playoffs. If Dak doesn't outplay Brock Purdy, they're losing. Period. End of story. Dak has to be significantly better than Brock Purdy to give them a shot in the game. If he can't do that, it's over. They're not beating them. And so that's my worry about Dak is sometimes in these games, and I've always been a defender of Dak. I've always said I think he's a top 10 quarterback, and I'm not backing off that. But like when they play the Eagles, so they come out of the bye, they play the Rams, and then they play at Philly, okay? You can't play like that. You've got to be the driver of the bus. You can't be a passenger. And I do put a little bit on McCarthy too. Like at some point, man, you're not going 15 plays against the Niners. You're not. So load up the wagon and throw the ball down the field. You know, I think sometimes, like, I remember Philly last year in the NFC title game. Now, I get Purdy got hurt and the whole game went to hell. I understand that. But before he got hurt, if you remember, the first drive of that game for Philadelphia, they had a 4th-and-1, and Hurts threw it deep down the field to Devonta Smith. And he caught it but didn't catch it, but they didn't overrule it, you know. But Philadelphia understood, like, even as great as they are, trying to go, you know, 12, 15 plays against San Francisco is probably not going to happen. We have to take shots down the field and stretch them. And Dallas took like two shots early, and then that was it. And they started running the ball, like no chance. So, look, I think Dallas would be a playoff team, but Dallas was a long way to go before they're a championship contender, despite my pick of them to come out of the NFC, which is looking worse by the minute. I knew I would regret it. It's my own fault.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
The Bills, they go to London, 3-1 off a huge win over Miami. And as is usually the case in the NFL, just when you think somebody's really rolling, the comeuppance is right around the corner. It turns out it was. The Bills played, I think it's fair to say, a subpar game. The offense was in a malaise. They didn't score into double digits till very late. They took a bunch of penalties. I mean, everybody took penalties in that game. I don't think I've ever seen that many flags in my life. Buffalo was flagged 11 times for 109 yards and a couple of turnovers. Is this the same old Bills to you? Or, you know, a team that's explosive but loses games it shouldn't? And I also might add, unfortunately, the worst part of that game was the injuries. They lost Matt Milano and Daquan Jones for the year. So is this a team that you think is in trouble? Or is it a team that just will happen to lose a game in London?
Yeah, you know, everything you laid out, you know, that's why I'm conflicted. It's like we've seen this movie before where they have dominant wins, they stack wins, and they'll get to the playoffs, but they're always going to have like two or three games where like, okay, they were really bad. And that's why they're a team we can't trust in the playoffs, because, you know, they always find a way to, you know, to be inconsistent, and you always see Stephon Diggs frustrated for something. And it feels like that, you know, before I get to the injuries, I kind of want to give them, you know, some slack here, because I guess it is going to London. The Jaguars were already in a groove from playing in London a week before. It's kind of like a home game. And the Jaguars, like, they're a good team. They've been sleepwalking for the first month, but they're a good team. So I kind of want to just say, all right, they had to go to London. They lost to a good team. Let's move on. They're going to be in the playoffs, and I'm still going to call it. I think they're going to win the AFC East. I think they still match up better when they play the Dolphins. So I'm not too worried about that. But, you know, maybe I shouldn't say that, because the but is the injuries. Matt Milano does so much for that defense. Daquan Jones also on IR. So it was a bunch of injuries after injuries. I'm like, what's going on here in London for the Bills? So, you know, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, because they usually they always have injuries. They find a way to do it. I think last year Von Miller got hurt, and then, you know, obviously they're okay, but they weren't the same team. They made the playoffs. So I think they'll be fine to do enough, and maybe they'll play when they play the Dolphins again, I think in week 18, maybe the division title's on the line.
Yeah.
I think they'll be fine by then, but I kind of want to go back to saying I still don't trust this team in the playoffs, and they kind of show me a little bit of that. I'm not giving you an answer here, Matt, but I want to give them some kind of slack for the London trip.
Well, I'll give an answer. So I'll handle this one. Listen, I think they're exactly who they've been for years, and now they have injuries that, I'm going to be blunt, I don't think they're overcoming these injuries, because Milano is the best player on that team, not named Josh Allen. I even think he's better than Diggs, and I think Diggs is incredible. I would say that Matt Milano, other than Fred Warner, might be the best linebacker in the NFL. And to not have that guy in the middle, plus you lose Daquan Jones, who's played at a Pro Bowl level this year, and you're losing Tre'Davious White. I mean, that is a lot. And normally you go, well, Kyrie Elam can step in. Kyrie Elam has been inactive a lot of these games this year. I mean, they don't even play him. First round pick of a year ago, and then he played him this year or this week against Calvin Ridley, and Calvin Ridley just lit him up over and over and over. I don't care if they sign Josh Norman. That's not doing it. Like, here's the good news if you're a Bills fan. The good news is you have a great quarterback, and as great as the AFC was promised to be, I don't know that it's that great. I mean, you look at the AFC, okay, you've got Kansas City and you've got Miami. Who else? I mean, Buffalo is the team that to be fair to Buffalo, I wouldn't put anybody else ahead of them. I would put Kansas City ahead of them. I think Miami, even though they beat them, because of all the injuries, long-term, I would put Miami ahead of them. Although I agree with you, head-to-head, Miami has all kinds of problems with them. The problem I have with Buffalo is when you lose games like this, especially that Jets game, but then also, like look, this Jacksonville, I agree that Jacksonville's a good team, but it's a game you had every opportunity in the world to win. You can't win it. The problem is it leads to them not getting a one seed. It leads to them being a two seed or a three seed or maybe a five seed. And now you have to go on the road and play all these teams. You got to play an extra game. And let's just say it's Kansas City. Kansas City then gets a bye, and they're sitting at home waiting for you. It makes it a hell of a lot tougher. And so, look, I think Buffalo's a very good team. But I also think Buffalo's the same issue. They play these games with their knockout. They're Colin Coward, give him credit on this. I think it's a perfect analogy. He always says it about him. They're like Mike Tyson. They can just knock you out in 15 seconds. Man, they have so much firepower at times. And other times, you're like, are they okay? Are they awake for this fight? Like, what is happening? And that's where I come down on the Bills. The Bills just have too many of these games where they should win or they can win. And, you know, for the people who say, well, everybody has a bad game, that's true. But you look at these other teams, you know, a lot of times, maybe they don't play great, but they find a way to win. Like, for example, Philadelphia didn't play well against Commanders a couple weeks ago, but they won. They found a way to win the game. Kansas City did not play well against the Jets. Mahomes was awful, but they won. They found a way to win the game. Buffalo has this tendency to not find a way to win those games, and it hurts you in the long run because of the seeding.
Yeah. You know, I think that the point you made about the AFC not being as good as we all thought they were going to be, I think that helps out. Maybe, you know, you stack enough wins and you do have that one head-to-head tiebreaker with the Dolphins, but you do play them again. But right. if you get that five seed, okay. You know, but you never know. Maybe this Bills team has had, what, you know, higher seeds before. I don't think, maybe a one seed or maybe never.
They haven't had a one seed since 1993.
Okay, so they've been, you know, like a two or three. So maybe the fifth seed.
Yes,
maybe the five seed is what they need to finally get over the hump. So, you know, you just never know. And again, it's so early. Like, you can even, you know, point out to a bunch of sluggish games for the Chiefs and the Dolphins. The defense I'm still concerned about. Maybe they'll get Jalen Ramsey back and they'll be okay. But you're right. The Matt Milano injury and Daquan Jones injury, those are going to hurt. But, you know, I feel like they're gonna do enough to stack wins. And we'll see how they play down the road. But you got the Giants coming up. And that's going to make you feel good. And we'll see how
that will make
you
feel good.
We'll see how they do.
That's going to make them 4-2. That's the kind of game Buffalo's going to win 45-3 on national television. Everybody's going, oh, Buffalo. And then like, the next game, they'll score 10 points. All right. Last thing before we get into one quick segment, and then we'll do the week six lines. Is it time for a fire sale in Denver? And I'll even throw Minnesota in there as well now that the Justin Jefferson injury has been revealed to be pretty significant. Both teams are 1-4. Minnesota is 3 back in the division, as is Denver in their division. The Broncos' next four games are Kansas City, Green Bay, Kansas City, Buffalo. And Minnesota does not have Justin Jefferson for at least a month. Cousins has just this year remaining on his deal, and then he's slated to be a free agent. Would you have a fire sale, and do you expect a fire sale in either two of those cities?
Yeah, I think so for both. And, you know, I'll start with the Vikings because I think they've been operating and, like, they want to rebuild, but they're kind of like, okay, we did make the playoffs a year ago. Maybe we shouldn't do a full rebuild, but we'll let go of all these old guys and make sure the cap space is right for 2024. But then, you know, you brought in like a Marcus Davenport and a Byron Murphy, and Byron Murphy hasn't really worked out for the secondary here. But they were spending like they wanted to try to win, but they weren't sure. Now you're convinced, okay, do the fire sale, trade people. Maybe you can get rid of some of those contracts that you spent this offseason and just go into a full rebuild. And one of the biggest mistakes, I think, Matt, for the Vikings, like, how could you not re-sign Justin Jefferson before the season? Like, now you have to worry about that now. And it's like, he's your best player. He's the one guy from those two teams we just mentioned. You do not trade at all. You work out a deal, and you're fine. So, you know, they messed that up, but I think they should do it. And maybe for Kirk Cousins, if you're like, okay, I don't have a contract after this year, maybe I want to go play for a good team and showcase myself and get another long-term contract. So I think he has a no-trade clause. Go ahead and tell him, hey, get me out of here. I want to go play and ball out and shine. And I'll be quick with the Broncos here. But, yeah, maybe a long time ago, you should have done the fire sale. They started with Randy Gregory. I think they traded him to 49ers. Yeah, 49ers. So they've been doing moves there. So, maybe tell me if I'm wrong here, but I've gotten to a point where, like, anybody on that roster, call me up. I'm going to trade that guy. Patrick Surtain is one of those guys because this defense has just been terrible. And I don't know if Sean Payton's your guy to do a full rebuild and lead the charge because it hasn't gone well. But he is a Super Bowl winning coach. I get that. He did a lot of good things in New Orleans. But I think it might be time for a full, complete, 100% reset in Denver. Minnesota, just keep Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, so I agree with you that it's time for a fire sale, but I'll say this. I think they would look wildly different. So in Minnesota, Danielle Hunter, I mean, just listen. Get the best offer you can. And he's going to be a free agent after this year. They packed more money into his deal this year to make him happy. Trade him. Just trade him. Move on. He is at this point in his time in his career, he's 29 years old. Like he's not going to be there when you're good. So just trade him. KJ Osborne, if they can get a decent pick for him, I mean, you're not going to get like a first or second, but even if you can get a mid-round pick, I'd do it. I would trade anybody not named Justin Jefferson or Jordan Addison. That's it. I'd trade everybody else on the team. I mean, you know what? I shouldn't say it. I'm sorry. The tackles are very good players, you know, Neil and Darrishaw. And Darrishaw is 24 years old. I would not trade Christian Darrishaw. That's it. I trade everybody else. But Denver to me is different. Because Minnesota had success last year. And Minnesota has a young head coach who you would think is going to be there for a while. Denver has Sean Payton, who is not attached to any of these guys. And who is not going to sit there and take the blame for this season. It's not going to happen. They cannot trade Russell Wilson because no one's going to take on that money and the dead money and everything else. I truly believe they got three games left for a deadline. Two against the Chiefs. They lose those two games. Even if they beat Green Bay, they're 2-6. We might see a fire sale like we have never seen before in the NFL. Like I think Simmons, Judy, Sutton, Javonte Williams, you name it. I even think Sertan's on the block if they could get two firsts for him. I think that's what it would take. But if some team called them up, let's say Buffalo did it. Hey, we lost Tre'Davious White. We'll give you two firsts for Sertan. I think Denver would do it. I think that team is going to sell off everybody. And frankly, I think they probably should. I mean, they need to gut that team in the worst way. And I think this is the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, no, I even like the trade scenarios they're giving now. Like a lot of these teams, like I know the Chiefs, you know, can't really trade with the Broncos because AFC West, we've seen it before. Right. But they need a wide receiver. I mean, Jerry Jeudy would be nice. And I think the Chargers need a wide receiver too after losing Mike Williams. So, yeah, if you're a team that, you know, could be a playoff team or a contender and you're hurting at a spot or there's an injury there, yeah, go and call up the Broncos because everything just laid out there in Denver. And yeah, Patrick Surtain, like, it's tough to judge him because defense is such a collective unit. You can't really, like, shine by yourself, especially at cornerback. But right. Anyway, he hasn't been doing well. But I bet the second he gets out of there, if he does, he'll ball out and play like a good cornerback like he does.
I mean, he's phenomenal, but they as a team, I mean, they can't get any pressure. Nobody else can cover. I mean, it's just, again, if I'm Denver, I mean, I'm serious. Everybody, like anybody who's available, I'd be, who do you want? Let's talk about him. I would stick a for sale sign the size of the Goodyear blimp in front of the stadium. Okay, They're in the worst position in the NFL right now. Plus, by the way, if you sell off everybody, if you trade off all these guys, and you have two things to come back to. Obviously, you get picks, okay, and you get future cap space. You also are going to suck the whole rest of the year. And maybe you could draft Caleb Williams. Maybe you could draft Drake May. Because I got to tell you, if you're Denver, the worst case scenario, and this, by the way, is also true for the Giants, for the Patriots, the worst case scenario is you go like 5-12. And you miss on all these quarterbacks, and you end up having to take like a right tackle. All right, I don't care if that right tackle ends up being John Hanna. I don't care. Like that's a disaster for all these teams, which is why I honestly wouldn't be surprised at the trade deadline if we see a ton of action this year because some of these teams are just going to start selling off parts like nobody's business to try to just lose. I mean, I think that is completely plausible. Now the Panthers, it's funny, like they may not because what the hell, they don't have their own pick, but all the rest of these teams. Oh my God, I'd get rid of everybody. I'd get rid of everybody if I thought I had a shot at one of these quarterbacks. So I think we might see a huge fire sale in more than a few places.
A quick thing, Matt. I wonder if there's any kind of scenario where the Broncos could get rid of Russell Wilson's contract. Like, hey, you want Patrick Surtain? You know, just give us one first round pick, but also take the contract of Russell Wilson. That'd be interesting.
It's hard to do. So if they traded Russell Wilson, the team that would be acquiring him would have a base salary to pay him next year of $17 million, which you could live with that. That'd be fine.
Okay.
Then it's 37, 40, 45, and 50, but you're not going to pay a lot of those years anyway because, you know, the money runs out. If Denver were to trade him, they would eat quite a bit of dead money, but they would save $8 million bucks this year prorated and $17 next year and so on and so forth. So the problem is, I mean, he's played a lot better this year, but, like, who's lining up for that contract?
Yeah.
You know, who's like, yeah, that sounds great. At 35 years old.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
All right, let's quickly run through contender or pretender here. I just put down five teams. We don't have to go deep into it. We can just kind of hit on these and then revisit down the line. First of the five, didn't play this past weekend, had a bye. Chargers, do you think they're – and by the way, to clarify, contender or pretender means, like, do you think you could see this run team making a run toward the Super Bowl? Not like they can get to the wild card round and get blasted. So the Chargers, number one, I know you have covered them. You've seen them up close for many years. What do you think about them?
Yeah, you know, I do like that they're 2-2. They won the last two games. They're in a bye week, but you know, I still have a lot of concerns about their defense. Can they actually turn around and not just be this bend don't break and get a couple of turnovers and you're okay. You're a lucky team. I got to see more from this defense. Derwin James are probably going to come back this week, so I got to see more. So right now, I'm going to call them pretenders.
Yeah, I mean, I just had to look at a picture of Brendan Staley, and they're pretenders. I can't get past it. I just can't. Every time I see Brandon Staley faced with a decision, I know immediately that I'm going the other direction. So give me pretenders. I think they are a playoff team. I do not think they're more than that. All right, this team, I think I know where we're both going, but they are winning their division right now. So I throw them on there. The Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 3-2, very good defensively. Offensively, shall we say, a challenge. But they won against Baltimore, mostly because Baltimore dropped 77 passes in the game. Do you see them as being able to pull it together on offense and become some kind of a dark horse contender, or do you not see that at all?
Unless they have a bunch of plays where they just, hey, throw it up YOLO style to George Pickens every single play, then maybe they have a chance. But I don't think they're going to do that. And who knows if Matt Canada even called the play for Pickett to Pickens. So there's controversy there. But I'll keep it quick. Pretenders for the Steelers for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I just can't get behind. Pickett is not. He's not good. I don't know, like, how much more we need to see this. I watched that whole Ravens Steelers game, and I've had dentist appointments that were more pleasant. I mean, it was just he was so bad that entire game, so bad. And I'll give it to him. I even used it in my All 22 breakdown that I did on Wednesday. Like, he made a great throw to Pickens. I mean, that was a 1-on-1, and Pickens won on Marlon Humphrey, and Pickett threw a perfect ball to him. I'll give him that. But man, other than that, woof, that was rough. Maybe they sneak in as a wild card team, but yeah, it's it. All right, this one I'm really interested in, actually. The Lions, 4-1, only lost to Seattle this year, and they've dominated. They dominated Green Bay. They dominated Carolina. They went to Arrowhead. I know that game was a little weird, but they found a way. They won that game. Give them all the credit. The only Chiefs loss this year. Do you see them as a contender in an NFC that I think a lot of people view as a two-horse race?
Yeah, I'm very impressed with the Detroit Lions, and I'll say for sure contenders. You know, my and I'm a little hesitant because the week two loss to the Seahawks, and I'm like, do I see the Seahawks better than the Lions? And it's like it was one of those early matches. Okay, maybe I just caught them at the right time. And but I'm just gonna say I think the Lions are better than the Seahawks. I'm really impressed with the Lions. They could win in multiple ways. You know, passing the ball down the field, running the football with Dave Montgomery, and the defense has been pretty good too. So. I think eventually, you know, come December, I think we might view the Lions as good as maybe not as good, but on the close to that higher level of the 49ers and the Eagles and the NFC to be maybe the third team.
I agree. I'll tell you what I like about the Lions. I'm with you on this. We're 3-3. I go contender as well. I would say this. The one thing about them that I'd give them a shot in any playoff game, they're great up front. And when you're great up front in cold weather and that time of year, like that matters. That matters all year long, but it really matters then. Detroit has a top five offensive line and defensively up front, man. Aleem McNeil is a damn good D tackle, and Aiden Hutchinson is a beast. I mean, there are a few guys who are better than Aiden Hutchinson. Can you imagine Jacksonville taking him over Trayvon Walker?
Yeah.
But they didn't. So good for Detroit getting the hometown kid. Listen, Detroit doesn't have the full roster that Philly has, that San Francisco has, but man, they can play in the trenches. And Goff, for all of his shortcomings, like he's won playoff games. He's been there. He's won these games, and he's played well in some of these games. So I think you've got to put Detroit in that mix, and their coaching is really good. You know, Ben Johnson's a great OC. Give Aaron Glenn credit as a DC, and Campbell's done the job, man. I mean, I get it wrong all the time. I mean, that's part of this, but I remember when he got hired, when Campbell got hired, and he did his whole like biting kneecaps thing. And I wrote in my column at the time, like, this guy's going to be a good coach because the players are going to love this guy. Like, he's now, listen, he could end up being a guy who players liked and he's a complete dope, and I would have been wrong. As it turns out, like, it's gone well. So, listen, kudos to him. Kudos to the Lions. They play the Raiders in a couple weeks at home on a Monday night, and I'm thinking about just driving up and covering that game if SI will let me do it. Because I got to tell you, I've never been to Ford Field, and I never want to go to Ford Field. Like, who wants to watch this team? I kind of want to watch this team, right? So, you know, I think they're contenders all the way. I agree. All right. The team that beat them, let's just skip right over here. The team that beat them, the Seahawks, 3-1, coming off of a bye, going to Cincinnati this weekend for a game that's very important for both teams, certainly for Cincinnati. The last time we saw Seattle, they sacked Daniel Jones roughly 58 times. Do you believe in Seattle as a contender, or do you still have reservations about him?
I'm going to give you like a curveball, but yeah, I'm going to go with pretender for right now. It's tough for me to say that. I think they're very explosive offensively. I think the Geno Smith that we saw a year ago is still that guy. But we haven't seen the full extent. Like, where has Jackson Smith and Jigba been? And I mean, maybe even Tyler Lockett to an extent. Like, it feels like they could do so much more. We haven't seen it. I like Kenneth Walker being used a lot. I'm sure Pete Carroll, who loves to run the football, is enjoying that. But what about the rookies? Zach Charbonnet, you know, they have some injuries on the offensive line. And then defensively, they still struggle stopping the run. Like, you talk about the Detroit Lions. Like, the trenches is not a big thing for them, so that could be an issue. So, They beat Detroit in week two, I think, in Detroit. So that's a big signature win for them. But I'm a little hesitant, so I'm going to go pretender for right now.
You know what? I'm actually going to go contender. I think, look, in the NFC, we know they're the two big dogs. But I look at Detroit, Seattle, and Dallas on that same second tier. I look at all those teams as teams that could they get blown out in a playoff game by Philly or San Francisco? Yes. Would I be totally shocked if it's 2020 with 5 minutes left and one? No, I wouldn't be. Like, I think, you know, one thing about Seattle, man, they have drafted their asses off these last couple of years. I mean, they got, you know, that kid Devon Witherspoon, that kid can play.
Yeah.
Like, and you put him with Reek Woolen in the secondary, and you look at, you got Metcalf and Lockett, and I think Smith and Jigba will eventually get there, but you're right, slow start. You've got Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet. I mean, that team, you got guys on that team. Like, you got real guys. And defensively, they can get after you up front. They got a lot of guys up front. Draymond Jones, Darrell Taylor, among others. Nwosu, who I always thought was on the radio with the Chargers. Good player in Seattle. I love what they're doing. So, I don't think it's fair to say anybody's on the level in the NFC of Philly and San Francisco. But I do think that Detroit, Seattle, Dallas, put them all on the same tier for me. And then lastly, The Saints, who just blew out New England 34-0. We probably, at some point, we're going to have to talk about New England. We just didn't have enough time today. 34-0 up in Foxborough. They now have three wins. Do you think the Saints, I mean, right now, I don't think it's fair to say they're a contender because they just haven't done enough. But do you think with the defense they have, with Carr, maybe it gets better? Do you think they rounded the form into being a contender, or do you think they're too limited?
It's tough to say. You know, obviously like the answer is pretenders because we finally saw one game where the offense is actually doing its part. And I've been impressed with that defense all year. And it's tough to highlight the Saints when they're winning like maybe 12-9 or they're losing to the Buccaneers. So I haven't really found time to kind of like give them their due until this past week. They beat down the Patriots 34-0. And I think Derek Carr having his first touchdown on Chris Olave was good. Seeing Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas, the old-timers now, which just makes me feel old because I feel like they're still young players, are doing their thing still. So I think they have pieces there, but I don't see it rounding out to a form where, like, okay, that's a contender for sure. I'm not even sure I could say about anybody in the NFC South. So, like, if you're the Seahawks and you end up with the 5-seed, you'll probably beat the 4-seed NFC South team. So that's good there too, but for Seattle. But I'm going to go pretender. I think overall, I don't think that they're going to have enough to change it around with the New Orleans Saints. But I do like that defense a lot.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll echo what you said, essentially. I just think I don't trust Dennis Allen and Derek Carr to be contenders in a conference that I think there are at least 4 to 5 teams that are better than them. So I'm with you there. All right. Week 6. Let's get into the 5 best games, or at least in my opinion, the 5 best games. We have lines, of course, from SISportsbook.com. Make sure you get all your betting needs from SI Sportsbook. They're far more expansive than just the NFL, but that's what we're sticking with here. All right. Last of the trilogy here in London to lead us off. Ravens technically at Titans, although, again, of course, neutral site over in England. The Ravens are laying 4.5. That line has grown over the course of the week. It was 3.5 earlier. Who do you like in a matchup of teams that are both sitting here trying to get on track after losses a week ago?
Yeah, both very inconsistent teams, and I think the Tennessee Titans are a little more inconsistent. But I think if you're Baltimore, you're asking yourself, like, how the heck did we lose that game to the Steelers? I know it was like 10-3 at one point in the fourth quarter, 10-5 with the block.
They dropped like 10 passes.
Yeah, so I think you go back to that, and it's like, okay, you just catch the freaking ball, you're gonna beat the Steelers. I think the Ravens have enough to beat the Titans, you know, with Lamar Jackson. But it's just like, you know, it's tough seeing this offense play because, like, you don't see Beckham doing much. You don't see Rashad Bateman. They're missing J.K. Dobbins. You have this new offensive scheme, and it feels like people are getting impatient with the new scheme. So I'm very curious to see how they play after a bad loss like that where they should have won. I think they'll get it done, but I want to see, can you be impressive doing it offensively?
Yeah, I like Baltimore in the game. Look, Baltimore could be 5-0. Now, you know, they're not. It is what it is. But, I mean, they have lost 2 games this year to the Colts and the Steelers. You look at it and go, like, what happened? How did you manage to lose that football game? Now, maybe that's also a knock on Baltimore. You know, they've got to do a better job there. But I like him in this game. Look, the problem with Tennessee is Tennessee is so one-dimensional. And realistically speaking, I love the defense, especially the front for Tennessee. But, like, I don't know that it's enough in this game. I don't think they're going to bully Baltimore. Baltimore also is a team that typically is pretty tough in the trenches. So I like Baltimore to win. I think it is a relatively close game. I'll take Baltimore to cover slightly. But I think the Ravens do, in the end, find a way to get it done. All right, another game here. Colts at Jags. Jags laying 4.5 coming home after 2 weeks over in England. 1-both, 3-2. Colts 3-2. This is a battle for first place in the AFC South. Of course, Gardner Minshew playing his old team with Anthony Richardson going on IR. So do you like the Jags to win and cover against their divisional rivals here at TIAA Bank Field?
Yeah. Good job on the stadium. I always forget what to call it.
That was I almost called it Everbank. That's why there was a slight pause there.
In Spanish, you could call it Tia, which is aunt in Spanish. But that's the way I read it for the stadium with the Jaguars. But to answer your question, I will go Jacksonville, but I don't think they're going to cover the spread. I think the Colts will make it a good fight there, and I've been impressed with the way, you know, they've handled losing Anthony Richardson to go to Gardner Minshew, and shout out to Gardner Minshew because, you know, we've done backup quarterback rankings. Like, if we do it again, for sure, number one backup quarterback in the league. He's playing so well where I'm even thinking, like, is he better than some starters? And I think he has a good case for that too. But that's a story for another day. You know, my point is the Colts are going to make it interesting. they're very good on the defensive front too, to maybe, you know, throw off Trevor Lawrence and Calvin Ridley and Travis Etienne. So they have enough defensively. And the biggest thing for the Colts team, you know, maybe I should pick them, but I'm not, because, you know, they're in Jacksonville. But I really like that two-headed monster in the backfield. Like, once Taylor gets going, like, do not give up on Zach Moss. Don't just feed Jonathan Taylor. I know he just got paid, and it kind of tells you, like, maybe you don't have to pay a running back, because Zach Moss just went off on whatever contract he's on right now. But two-headed monster in the backfield. You have some weapons, you know, at targets, but not too much. But it'll be close. I do like Jacksonville waking up in London. I think they're going to, you know, keep that momentum. Should be a fun game. I think it'll be close, but give me Jacksonville to pull it out at home.
Yeah, you know what? We're in lockstep on this one. If for no other reason, I agree that I think it's going to be one of these deals where if you're Jacksonville, you got to win this game. You're at home. If you're the Colts, it's a game you'd like to win, but you could also always, you know, say, hey, listen, you know what? It's a game that we're not expected to win. Now, maybe that helps. Maybe you play a little looser. Maybe you're a little more aggressive. But Jacksonville lost in its last home game against a divisional opponent against Houston. Of course, these teams start each other week one. It was close. Jacksonville's even trailing in the fourth quarter. They found a way to win. I am with you. I like Jacksonville to win. I like Indy to cover. We will see. But I think Jacksonville's kind of found itself a little bit here. Third game. I think it might be the most intriguing game of Sunday. Seahawks at Bengals. The Bengals are laying 2.5 here. Seahawks off the bye. Bengals off their win over Arizona. Do you believe in the Bengals? Do you think they're back? Or do you like Seattle off the rest?
Man, last week, all these upset wins really kind of changed your narrative, right? Or your thinking. It's like the Jaguars beat the Bills. Okay, the Jaguars back. And then Joe Burrow, suddenly his calf is fine, and he does well against the Cardinals. It's kind of like, man, you would have asked me who to pick like 2 weeks ago, I'm definitely going to go Seattle. But I like what I saw from Joe Burrow. I have confidence in the Bengals now. Yeah, they don't have T. Higgins, but seeing Joe Burrow just, you know, move around the pocket, show some mobility, and then even take off for 10 yards and get a first down. And then 7-11, Ja'Marr Chase finally getting the ball. I think they'll get going here. You know, I'm still unsure about the Seattle defense. Like, it's going to be a fun game. It's probably going to be a shootout. So I'm really enjoying this game. So give me the Bengals to carry momentum. I'm still unsure, even if they win this game, man, like they still got to play the Bills, the 49ers. Like, I think the hole to climb out of is gonna be difficult, but they're probably in a winnable division, the AFC North. So get a big time victory against the Seahawks, and who knows what's gonna happen with these Bengals, because Joe Burrow's playing well from that one game.
I like Seattle in this game. I'm not into the hype train with the Bengals. Like, I get they won the game. They were up 24-20 in the fourth quarter, and the Cardinals were inside Cincinnati's 25-yard line. And look, Bengals give them credit. They made a stop in 4th-and-1. They get the ball. They score. They also had a pick six off Dobbs at the end of the first half. It was one of the worst plays you'll ever see in your life. Like, the Cardinals are up 4 with the ball at the end of the halftime. Burrow played better, but, man, it took 3.5 quarters to put away Arizona. I have concerns. Seattle off a bye to me. Give me Seattle. And by the way, these teams know each other, because you have Taylor, who came from the McVay tree, and you also have Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator for Seattle, that comes from the McVay tree. So these teams, there's more familiarity here than you'd think. I like Seattle, man. I think Seattle is going to go in there and win this game. I think it's a very good game, but I like the Seahawks. And I also think their pass rush is no joke. Ask the Giants. I think they could put Burrow in a blender a little bit. So we will see. I'm looking forward to seeing how that shakes. I do think it's a great game. In the NFC, an old NFC Central matchup that's no more. The Lions at the Bucks. Detroit laying 3.5. The Buccaneers, should be noted, might affect your pick. They're in the creamsicles this week. So do you like Motown to get the 5-1, or do you think Tampa gets the 4-1 off the bye?
Well, now I got to think about it. Those are some pretty cool uniforms there for Tampa Bay. But I really like the Detroit Lions this year, and you know they're winning the games they're supposed to win, and they're doing it handily. Like, they're beating every opponent by like 14, 17 points every single game. Like, they easy work against the Carolina Panthers, and you know the Buccaneers. I'm not saying they're the Panthers, but I don't think they're in that class. Like, if you would have asked me pretender contender, I probably would have said pretender for Tampa Bay, but they are in a winnable division in the NFC South. So, good defense to put up a fight. I like Baker Mayfield doing some good things. I don't know about Mike Evans' hamstring injury. If you don't have Mike Evans, you probably have no chance hanging around with Detroit. So give me the Detroit Lions to beat Tampa Bay.
Yeah, look, again, I'm with you here. I think that Detroit is the better team. Look, the one thing that scares me, too, are the Bucs. The Buccaneers have this tendency that they've had for a couple of years now where they just run the ball on first down, just slam it into the line, and it's like, guess what? Against Detroit, it's going to be second and nine. So have fun doing that. I love Detroit here. The Bucs coming off the bye, they're at home. I think they keep it a game. I don't think they get blown out. In fact, I'll even pick up the cover. But I like the Lions to win this football game. I think the Bucs get a backdoor cover. Maybe it's something like, 23-20. Detroit's just good, man. Like Detroit, it's a weird thing to say because in our lifetime, that has not been the case most of the time. But Detroit is just, they're good on both sides of the ball. I trust the coach. They're playing great football. All right, last game, Monday night. Cowboys, 2.5-point favorites on the road at SoFi against the Chargers. Are you going to that game? Are you covering that game?
Yeah. I'll be there Monday night for that game.
I would think that, I mean, you would know better than me, but what is that going to be, 80-20 Cowboy fans?
Yeah. I wonder how many Cowboy fans are like just, devastated from last year. Like, oh, I would give up on them. Like when the Raiders came to SoFi, I expected more, but the Raiders have been so bad. I think they started selling off their tickets. So we'll see, but maybe like 70-30 Cowboys.
I got to tell you, I really like Dallas in this game. Like, this speaks to my theory on what we just talked about earlier with Buffalo. Like, whenever you see a team, then it's like, they're unstoppable. No one can stop. The horrific loss is right around the corner. It just is, 99% of the time, if I could say that. Dallas is the team everybody and their mother is going to jump off of this year. Oh, they look at how they lost. They stink, blah, blah, blah. They'll go out and score 35 points this week. So give me Dallas in the Kellen Moore Revenge Bowl, by the way.
Huh, okay. Yeah, I think Dallas will win the war in the stands there. But I think the Chargers will pull it out, coming off a bye week. And maybe you're right, Matt. Like, I don't want to let one bad loss sway my thinking about the Cowboys. But I just don't like a lot of their issues currently. So long term, I'm worried about them playing the 49ers because they have no chance. But also in the short term, like, they can't really figure it out offensively. And I think maybe this bye week, like you mentioned, Kellen Moore revenge game. It's not Nathaniel Hackett type of game here, but I think they'll get it done. And man, maybe this is my fault because, I show too much faith in the Chargers to figure it out because they're just so talented. But this is a very intriguing game. It's kind of like a crossroads game where, like, whoever loses, I might just say, get out of my life. I don't want to think about you guys anymore. So it's a big-time game for these two teams when it comes to me.
Hey, yeah, I hear you. I hear you. It's an interesting game. I'm really looking forward to seeing it, for sure. It's a game that whoever loses, it's going to be a 5-alarm fire. All right. What's going on in your life? What's happening?
Yeah, Matt, I know I usually complain about going out to events and leaving my house, but this weekend I'm actually excited. We have some good plans. Me and my partner and all our friends are getting together. We don't really do this often, but, we're going to an Oktoberfest, down in Orange County, and supposedly, I've never been to this Oktoberfest. I've tried to go to a few, once a year. And then I always come out leaving what I always say. Too many lines, too many people, good beer. But I got like two or three beers because the lines are so just outrageous. But the one I'm going to in Orange County, supposedly, is a pretty fun setting. Like, you just sit down. People are dancing. You're kind of like part of every event. And it just feels more like I've never been to Germany, but more like a German kind of style. Where it's a right, for sure festival and a party. So hopefully I'm not getting my hopes up here and I'm disappointed. We're like, okay, I got two beers because the lines were just outrageous. So I'm just going for the environment and have a couple, some tall cans of beers the big mugs, as you could say. And I'm looking forward to it. But I'm also wondering if I'm going to like leave disappointed.
Well, hopefully it works out for you. I've got to drive to Kansas City tomorrow because I'm taking Maisie, my oldest daughter, to her first NFL game. Last year, she made me promise that I would take her to a Chiefs game. And I said, okay, that's fine. And then she remembered and remembered and remembered. And so by the time the season rolled around, she was like, all right, which game are we going to? I'm like, all right, well, it can't be a Sunday game. So it's going to be Thursday night. The old man and myself and Maisie are going to go sitting old school, like just like I would have as a kid, way up in the upper deck, up in the corner. God knows I'm going to have to hold her up the whole game so she can see. That's fine. We'll do it. We'll tailgate. We'll do the whole thing. We'll do it right. She is a huge Taylor Swift fan, so she's really hoping Taylor Swift's in the building. We will see. But, yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to bringing her, and I hope for her it's a great experience.
Yeah, I'm sure overall it's gonna be a fun time. But like, do you feel some kind of pressure, Matt, to make find a way to ensure that Taylor Swift's gonna be there for your daughter, to make sure at least you can see her on the big screen there at Arrowhead Stadium, and okay, and tell your daughter like, yeah, we're here. She's here too in the same place.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I don't feel the pressure of that. I feel, in an odd way, I feel like Kansas City. There's a pressure on me, even though I have absolutely no stake in making this happen. They need to win this game. Because it'll be a hell of a lot more fun for Maisie if they win than if they lose. And God knows for everybody else involved. So we'll see. They're 10.5 points favorite over Denver, which, you know, listen, I've seen the Chiefs enough in my lifetime to know that, like, that could be a blowout win. That could also be 20-20 with 5 minutes left. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to taking her. It'll be fun. I'm debating whether to bring earmuffs or not so she doesn't hear earphones or whatever, headphones. I think the hell with it. You know what? She'll get used to it. She'll deal with the noise. If she wants to be a Chiefs fan, that's part of it. You got to deal with the noise. It's not a Chiefs and wine crowd in Kansas City. So,
yeah, I like that. It's just the only issue is like it's her first NFL game, and it's probably the loudest environment in the NFL besides maybe Seattle. But there you go. You got to learn sometime.
You know what? My biggest concern, honestly, is it's a night game, and you know as well as I do, fans a little more lubricated for night games.
Yeah.
That's my concern. My concern is either some moron getting into a fight one section over, which the NFL, by the way, at some point, my God, do something, or just somebody just drunkenly screaming like an a-hole for 3 straight hours. But also part of the experience. So I remember one of the first hockey games I ever went to as a kid. I was watching two adults yell at each other, and like I was a little older than Maisie. Maisie's 6. I was probably like 10 at the time. There's like a Penguins fan and a Devils fan. They're screaming at each other. And this Devils fan, like, he was higher up in the section. So it was like a row up on this guy. And they were in the stair. They're in the staircase yelling at each other. And the Penguins fan pushed the Devils fan and, like, pushed him into the seat. And the guy got up and kicked him right in the chest and knocked this guy down, like, 25 cement stairs. I thought he killed him.
Wow.
Guy got up, like, clearly concussed, and the usher was like, just threw them all out. Like, threw out, like, 20 different people. And I remember thinking, like, I don't know what to do here, but I'm glad that the Devils fan won the fight because I'm a Devils fan. That was all I could think of. Like, I was, I don't know who was right, who was wrong, what the hell was happening. But, yeah, good times. Good times. And so, you know, it's part of the experience, I guess, for better or worse.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be kind of scary to watch that unfold, but then I'm like, whoa, where'd that kick come from? So it's kind of like, I'm into combat sports and UFC. I'm like, okay, it must be a pretty devastating kick.
It was just funny because, like, I mean, obviously it was at a Devils game. I'm a Devils fan, so we were in Jersey, and it was because the Devils fan did it to the Penguins fan, like, the place erupted. Like, and so as a kid, I didn't know. I was like, I guess this is good. Like, and then, like, he got up. So I'm like, all right, he's not dead. It's okay. But it was just, yeah, I mean, it is a little unnerving for a kid, but it's, you know, and also, obviously, hopefully there's no fight and we can just enjoy the game. But yeah. I also am going to tell her, like, listen, if two morons get into a fist fight in the parking lot, like, keep it moving. Mm-hmm. Like, just walk by. I remember that was my dad's advice at night at the Devils game. He's like, look, don't engage. Don't engage. Just watch the game. Like, stay out of it. And that's advice I still heed 25 years later. So
I think she's really going to enjoy walking around, you know, before the game, like, to see all the tailgating, because, you know, that's one of my favorite places to go to is Arrowhead Stadium, and just walk around and see all the barbecue. And I'm just walking, like, hoping somebody invites me over. Hey, you want to try some of this brisket or some ribs here? Because, like, they get down there. That's some big old trucks and trailers, and they go all out. So I think she's gonna enjoy that environment, I feel like.
I can't wait. We had a few people who were very generous and reached out. I'm like, hey, if you want to come over, I'm like, yeah, I'll come over.
Nice.
Absolutely. I'll be there. So, all right, listen, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe if you haven't already to the MMQB podcast, not only for the show with Gilberto and myself, but also for Connor Orr and Albert Breer. I think Albert's still trying to recover from my take that the Niners might be the most talented team in the salary cap era. He was, I'm half tongue-in-cheek, but he was, like, I think those Cowboys team in the 90s were pretty good. I'm like, yeah, you're right. But, like, this team's not bad either. But anyway, subscribe. They do great work, of course, as well. They've been here longer than us. You should know them by now. Leave a rating, leave a review, and if you leave a comment, we will answer it on the pod, I promise you. All right. Thank you so much for being here. Enjoy Week 6 for Gilberto Manzano. I am Matt Verderam. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again real soon.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.